Well, good morning, everyone. This is a pleasant surprise. I'm probably more surprised than you are. But this is good. Alexander was joking with me, you know, because we've got this big it over there. And I was just thinking, you know, when we were kids, we used to play tag, right? How many used to play tag? And somebody would run up and go, tag, you're it. I guess I'm it this morning. So you're going to have to find out what the real it is next week when Aubrey is back. And, of course, we're praying for him. And praying that he gets well, and yeah. I know he really wrestled with this, too. He called me Friday. He said, Jim, if I need to, can I call on you? And I said, absolutely. And he says, okay, I'll see how I'm doing tomorrow, meaning Saturday. So he calls me about noon hour. He says, well, I'm feeling worse, but my throat's better. I can talk a little bit more, but I'm feeling worse. And then he said, can I call you later in the day? And I said, of course. So about 5 o'clock, I get the message, I can't do it. I've just done. And you know Aubrey. If you've been around here long enough, you know Aubrey. He's not going to miss anything for anything, right? It could be 3 feet of snow out there and he would walk in if he had to be here. So I'm encouraged that, you know, that he can call on me and I'm happy to be here. So I've got a few different things that I want to share with you this morning. First is a word of encouragement. Would that be okay? Can I give you a word of encouragement? Sometimes, and we all know this, right? An encouraging word delivered at the wrong time can be what? It could just feel like nagging. It could just feel like it's not so encouraging, right? So an encouraging word at the right time is a good thing. A few weeks ago, I was sitting here, and I felt the Lord just impress something on my heart. And for every week afterwards, I thought, oh, do I share this? Do I go to Aubrey and say, look, I just got something I want to encourage people with. But I just felt the Lord just say, wait. Until this morning. So I want to encourage you with this, because what I want to encourage us with is to remember that we're all on the same team. Whether you're a husband and wife, whether you're a family member, whether you're a high school student, a young adult living at home with your parents, you're all on the same team. One of the last things I say to couples when I perform wedding ceremonies is remember the I do's. Right? Because there's a lot of I do's that we say to one another, that we commit to with one another as we grow in relationship. And we do the same thing in church. Right? We get to know someone, we say, I do want to get to know that person a little bit more. I want to spend more time with them. I do want to, you know, create some memories with them. I do want to do more things with them. And so these I do commitments lead us up to a place where we, you know, in the case of a couple, we get married. The thing I encourage them with is, regardless of what's going on in your lives afterwards, is remember the I do commitments that brought you up to that place. Don't allow the fact that you disagree, that you know, don't like what they did or said or how they responded to something. Don't allow that to bring separation. But remember that you're on the same team. And it's the same in a church. We come to a church, we might check it out. We may hang out for a little while and say, yeah, that's a place I could get to. I could see me sitting in the pews. I could see me connecting with people. I love the people. I love the relationships I'm building. I want to build more relationships. And we commit to them. And we don't give up and leave a church just because, you know, somebody said something on a Sunday morning that we didn't like. We push through those things, right? We do. I hear a chuckle over there. But we don't get up and say, okay, that's it. I'm done with this place because, you know, they said something, they did something. I didn't really like it. We continue to press through that. It's called building relationships. How many have ever noticed that building relationships don't always come easy? Right? We got to press through some of the mud, some of the dirt, some of the confusion, some of the disagreements. We got to press through those things in order to build something. I want to encourage us that each time we press through something like that, we grow that relationship deeper. You cannot plant a seed on carpet and expect it to grow. You got to throw some dirt on it. You got to throw some water, which creates some mud. It looks a little bit messy. It looks a little unclean, but that's how things grow. And it's the same in relationships. Our relationships grow through getting in the trenches, through the disagreements, through misunderstandings. I think that we can sometimes miss out on a great deal if we walked away from a relationship just because we disagreed with what somebody said. At the first signs of a disagreement or a conflict or a misunderstanding or a difference in opinion, we run away. We have to remember that, you know, out of the 7.5 billion people that are on the planet, our way can't always be the right way. Right? There's got to be more to it than just our one opinion out of 7.5 billion. Right? So I want to encourage us with that. So that's a little sermonette. Is that okay? That's a little sermonette just to kind of warm us up. But I want to encourage us in our relationships, especially in marriage and in families, is that you don't throw everything out just because you disagree. Remember, you're on the same team. Fight through it. Because if anything, at any particular time in history, is there no more of a time than we need each other? Would you agree? There's so much stuff going on outside of our family, outside of our workplaces, outside of our churches, that we need one another. We need to have that support. We need to know there's somebody on our team. So I want to encourage us with that this morning. Now you get the real sermon. Somebody said to me, said, "Oh, Jim, you must have a few of these kind of tucked away, you know, that you can pull out." And I said, "Yeah, I do. I got a few of those, but I don't like relying on those." So this one is hot off the press. 8 a.m. in Aubrey's office is when it came together. So I want to just share a few thoughts. We're just going to kind of go through some scriptures this morning and just talk about those things. The first one we're going to look at is Isaiah 55. And it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Right? We know that God's thoughts aren't always our thoughts, right? Anybody ever have a plan and you think, man, this is the plan to beat all plans, right? This is just the greatest thing since sliced bread. This is the best plan anybody has ever come up with, right? Anybody had those? I've had a few of those, and then I share them with my wife. And then she would just kind of look at me cross-eyed like, "What are you talking about?" And I go, "Oh, I guess that's not such a great plan." So I go back to the drawing board and I would do it all over again. Like my plan today, I was going to run a half marathon to raise money for the orphanage in South Africa. So I've been trying to do it the last couple of weeks. Last weekend, was it? Was Kintail last weekend? I've lost track. Yeah, so Camp Kintail was last weekend. I've always wanted to go and hang out and see what these boys do. They sleep until noon hour. They get up and have, no, I'm kidding. They get up early and we have breakfast and we work hard all day long. It was really good. I saw Scott there swinging a chainsaw like a madman almost 8 hours. And I dug about 150 feet of trench. That's what I did all day long. It was just, it was a lot of fun. So I've missed the last couple of Sundays, so I wasn't able to run my marathon to raise money for the orphanage. And so I planned on doing it this morning. Aubrey doesn't know this until he sees this recording. That was my plan. My plan was to get up this morning, and I was going to hit the trail about 6 a.m. and start my run. And then when he called, I went to plan B. And if we need a title for today, that's today's title. It's plan B. How many have ever had to go from plan A to plan B? Anybody ever gone from plan B to plan C? D, E, right? We just go up to Z and then we start all over again, right? As double A, double B, right? Just to keep track. But the truth is, you know, sometimes our plans do need to change and alter. And I thought this scripture verse was fitting because our thoughts aren't the same as God's thoughts. Sometimes God's just got a different plan. And sometimes he'll reveal a little bit to us so that we step forward. Right? Because we step forward with a little bit of excitement. We step forward with a little bit of enthusiasm. We step forward, and then when that plan doesn't come through, we go, "Oh, that's not the plan." And then we got two choices. One, we either run and just say, "Okay, that wasn't God. That was dumb. That was stupid. We just run and forget it." The second is, "Okay, what's next?" I was thinking about a cartoon strip that I saw a number of years ago when the sign over the building said school for the extraordinary intelligent. And there's this young guy walking up to the building, right? Obviously a student going into the building. And the next clip is there, he's pushing on the door and pushing on the door and pushing on the door. The next clip shows the sign that says pull. And sometimes we can get like that, can't we? Right? Plan A, we might think, "Okay, this is the plan. I'm moving towards it." And we might be pushing on the door, kicking at the door, where it may be one of two things. We may need to pull, or it might be the door next door. Because here's the deal. If you believe that there's light and darkness, if you believe there's good and evil, if you believe there's a God and a devil, if you believe all that, which I believe you do because you're here in church, you understand that principle. The enemy will often lead us close to where we need to be, but not fully and completely. Because the enemy's chief design is to keep us confused. Would you agree? God is not a God of confusion. God is a God of order, right? We read that through scripture. But the enemy has come to kill and destroy. The enemy has come just to bring confusion. So sometimes we can think a plan is a good plan. We can start moving towards something only to find out that it's not quite it. And sometimes we have to step back and say, okay, what's really going on here? Am I really hearing God speak to me in this plan? Am I really hearing God speak to me in this moment? Am I being a little bit misguided, misdirected? Anybody been misguided, misdirected? Right? That sometimes happens to us. We get counsel from outside sources. We get counsel from people. We get counsels from YouTube. How many go to YouTube to find your wisdom? Yeah, we all do that, right? Google is our best friend until he's not. And we go to Google trying to get information, trying to get direction. We think, oh, that's good, that's good. And we pull all these things together. And then all of a sudden we realize that's not it. So sometimes the enemy will try to keep us off track, bring us close to what the truth is, close to what the goal is, but not bring us 100% on target. And then we pull away, and what happens? We just blame God. How many are walking around this planet today blaming God, blaming the church, blaming others, blaming everybody else, but taking responsibility and saying, okay, maybe I misheard. Maybe I need to go back to the drawing board. Maybe I need to ask God again. How many ever found that in their relationship with God, it's not always a one-time thing going to the altar and asking for something? Sometimes we need to continually pray, continually ask, and God refines and redirects and continues to pour out purpose and brings us on track to what he really has for us. And sometimes it's a lifetime journey. Sometimes it comes quickly. Sometimes answers to prayer happen immediately. Sometimes they don't. But it's what we do in the midst of that. Because as we come to God and we say, okay, this is where I feel I'm supposed to go. This is how I'm supposed to serve. This is who I'm supposed to help. This is what I want to do with my life. We come up with all these different things. But God slowly refines those things and redirects them and continues to move our pathway until he gets us to where he wants us to go. Has anybody ever noticed that in their lives? If we think back on our journey, and I love that song that we played earlier, you know, thinking back of just, you know, trying to go without God, like, I don't know where I'd be. I'd be a complete wreck. And I know in my life, as I'm writing another book, I'm thinking back over some of the life journey, some of the things that I've gone through in my life. There's five particular points in my life where I really saw God work in my life and redirect and just reshape and just reform and reinvent the ideas and stuff and help me to see things. Because here's the deal. We can accept the fact that God is infinite, right? Right? We get the idea that he can see everything. He knows everything. You and I see everything mainly on two-dimensional, sometimes three-dimensional. Right? Like you and I sitting here in this church, we see the building. We see the walls around us. We see the ceiling. We see the windows. We see the people. Right? We see things as it is. We can zoom in on something and zoom in a little bit closer so we could just maybe focus on that wreath, or we could focus on that microphone. We could move in a little bit closer. So when we look at things at a regular level, that's a macro view, right? That's just the way we view things. A micro view is when we zoom in on something, right? Like a microscope. We zoom in on something. A meta view is when we step back and look at the whole picture, which oftentimes, we just don't do. We're so focused on what's in front of us, kind of like that character going up to the front school door and pushing instead of pulling. We're so focused on the door. It's like, door, why don't you work? Why won't you do what you're supposed to do? You're on two hinges. Why don't you move? It's because we're doing it in the wrong direction. So sometimes we can become so focused on something that we lose sight Whereas God never loses sight because he can see the bigger picture. So he can see not only today, but he can see a week. He can see what the circumstances and the decisions and choices, he can see what that's going to do. And you and I, if we got to that place where we step back and start looking at it long term, we would start to see things a little bit differently. Does that make sense? So it's all in our view, our vision. Again, like that character going up to the door, he was just focused on going through the door. He wasn't looking at the sign that said pull instead of push. And so oftentimes that happens for us. And God says, your thoughts, your ways, they're not mine. But thank God we have the ability through Jesus to get into that relationship where we can see things in a whole new way. Where our mind, our view, our thoughts, our hearts can be renewed and we can see it under a different light. The next verse I want to look at is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So oftentimes when our plans don't work, what happens? We just give in to despair. We can get discouraged. We can get depressed. We can say, oh, this is never going to work. God's against me. He's not for me. You know, woe is me. We can think of all these different things, can't we? But God says, I've got greater plans for you. So sometimes when a plan A doesn't work, maybe the plan is just to direct your pathway a little bit more. Maybe it's just to get you looking at a different direction. Maybe it's getting you to look at a different view. Because again, when we go back and look at it, with 7.5 billion people in the planet, we can't always rely on our understanding being the defined moment and the best. We may need to step back and say, okay, God, have you got some other thoughts? Have you got some other plans? Reminded of that in the New Testament. Paul talks about that, right? Where we got plans and we think this is it. I've got it all figured out. And God says, are you kidding me? Part of the relationship that we have with God is God wants us to bring things to him daily. He doesn't want us to have it all figured out. Yet the world goes around looking for ways. They look for psychics. They look for mediums. They look for all kinds of people that can what? Tell them the future. Tell me what's coming up next. Tell me where things are going. God doesn't want us to know those things. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to put our hope in him, knowing that he has plans for us and that he wants to give us a hope and a future. We can build all the plans we want, but are we going to get to the place where we invite God to be a part of those? And that goes for our personal lives. It goes for our home lives, our business lives. I mean, I wrestle with this all the time. I've been running my own company for 30 years, and now I'm developing a few more in my retirement. What else would you do, right? But it's always bringing those plans and saying, okay, God, this is where I feel I'm supposed to be going. Is this the right way? Have you got something else in store for me? And finally, in Psalm 126, it says, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. It's hard work keeping the faith, isn't it? It's hard work staying the course. It's hard work when we come in constantly, we feel like we're coming up against walls or coming up against locked doors. It can feel like an endless chore when we have children, we're raising them, and we have to say the same thing over and over and over. And it's like, how many times do I have to tell this child? And it's the same in relationships, whether with husband and wife, family members. It can be hard to continue to sow into those relationships. Pour into those relationships. It can become arduous. It can become a challenge. But the psalmist reminds us that when we sow with tears, we'll reap with songs of joy. Even though the work is hard, God has got a great reward for us. God has got even more than we can even possibly imagine. And here's the deal. When we shift from plan A to plan B, we can never look back at plan A and say that would have been a better plan, because we didn't allow that to unfold. That didn't unfold. That didn't evolve. We have to take plan B and accept plan B as the position where we are and move forward with it. And if plan B only takes us so far, then we take plan C. One of my friends, I bought a house a number of years ago, and we bought it just as an investment to renovate and to sell. And we sold it, and then of course, 6-8 months later, the market grew, and it could have been a completely different story. But he said to me, we make the best decision on the information that we have at the time. That's the best we can do at this level, right? On the meta level. We can just talk to Google. We can talk to neighbors. We can get counsel. We can get wisdom. We can talk to advisors, and we can gather the best information. The neat thing is that we've got God that sees things at a bigger view that we can continue to bring our needs before. We can continue to talk to. We can share the thoughts and the ideas and ask for wisdom. And God says that when we ask for wisdom, is he going to hold it back? Of course not. He's going to give it to us. But we have to be willing to look at it in a different view, because his wisdom may come in a completely different form. It may be completely unnatural. It may be counterintuitive for us to think, oh, that's not going to work. You look what happened with Jesus coming as the Savior of the world, born as a baby in a manger. Everybody at the time was looking for a Savior to come rolling in on a golden chariot someplace, right? They weren't expecting it to come that way. So sometimes it's stepping back and saying, okay, plan A didn't work, plan B, but just being open to look at all the different options. Which means that we just need to open up our view so that we see things in a different light. One of the things I really find fascinating when you look at Scripture, when you look at healing, Jesus healed blind quite often, right? We read that several times in the New Testament, how he healed blind people. But he never did it same way twice. Sometimes he would speak into it. Sometimes he would just put his thumbs on it. One time he made a little bit of dirt and spit in the mud and made some mud and put a little mud compress on the eyes. All right, he did something different all the time. And I think that's the way God continues to work today. But as a church and as individuals, we can still look for God to work the same way that he did all the time, don't we? Right? We could say, okay, this is the formula that worked before. A, B, and C equaled, I got the answer. But God may be wanting to do something completely different. So my encouragement for us today is that we would step back and look at things in a different light and be willing to examine it. Be willing to look at it and entertain the idea that this could be God speaking to me. It may not look the same. It may not be the same. It may not sound the same. But if it lines up with Scripture, if it lines up with the wisdom that we get from trusted people that we can count on and rely on in the church, if it lines up with that, then maybe it is. Maybe it is that next step, even if it looks different. Because how many times have we looked at Bible, we look at the stories, and things just didn't seem to make any sense? Think of Gideon, when he was going to war, right? God kept reducing the army, reducing the size of the army, reduce it down even more. And he's finally like, how am I going to defeat these thousands and thousands of my enemies with just a few hundred guys? And then God opened his eyes and allowed him to see what was really going on. He allowed him to see into the supernatural and see what was really happening. And then it was like, oh, now I get it. It's not just my physical strength. It's not just my physical ability. And so oftentimes we can rely on our physical ability, our mental capacities to do things, to accomplish things, to complete things. But when we invite God into it, we have to look at and expect the supernatural to come in and expect that to work in ways that we can't even fathom. Because again, to go back to our scriptures, his thoughts aren't even close to our thoughts. His ways are far above our ways. The knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, the vision that he has, his ability to see what's coming down the road is far greater than any one of us could ever imagine. So I want to encourage us as we move forward to continue to look at things, but don't be afraid to look at things in a new way. Don't be afraid to look at things and say, okay, I've always understood this scripture to mean X, but could it mean X and Y? Could it mean a little bit more? Could it be a little bit different? Because the thing with scripture is that there's often one interpretation, right? There's specific things for why things were written in the Old Testament, why they are there. But there's many applications that the Spirit of God will use to get the word across, to get the message across, to help us to expand our thinking. And here's the final thing that I want to say as we close is when plan A doesn't work and you got to turn to plan B, don't give up. And when plan B comes along and it only takes you so far and you got to go to plan C, don't give up. It's the falling short and giving up on our call, giving up on the dreams, giving up on the things that God is calling us to that may cost far more than we could ever imagine. But pushing forward and not giving up on those things, that's where we need to be. Not giving up on marriages, not giving up on family members, not giving up on churches, not giving up on neighbors, not giving up on friends, not giving up on ourselves. Because we can be so critical with ourselves, can't we? Looking in the mirror, oh, you dummy, you did it again. Oh, you didn't see that. Oh, you didn't hear that. We can be so hard on ourselves. But I want to encourage you, don't give up. If you're not getting an answer to a prayer, take it back again and say, God, do I need to look at this in a new way? Even church leadership, I encourage you to look at it. We've been looking at our finances. We've been looking at this. We've been looking at that in one particular way. I encourage you to step out and look at it a different way. Sometimes it's the boxes that keep us constricted, right? We can live in boxes. We operate in boxes. We think in boxes. I would encourage us to eliminate the walls of the boxes so that we can step out and not be limited by them. Because when we think and operate and live out of boxes, we're just confined to all the knowledge and the understanding that we have up to that given point in time. When we break down the walls of the boxes, we begin to step outside and we can see things in a completely different way. I know people that will sit around in board meetings and what they'll do is they're just arguing over a particular point, trying to come to a conclusion, and they'll step back and everybody will shift and we'll go around the table and look at that thing in a completely different way. Just looking at something in a different angle will sometimes bring a new revelation. And sometimes it's just a fresh revelation, a fresh new understanding, a fresh new perspective, a fresh new vision that we need to have for a day-old problem, everyday situation that will sometimes bring a new light. So I want to encourage us this morning as we step out to not be confined by the boxes, but dare to step outside of those boxes and look in and look at things in a different way. Does that make sense? Will you commit to doing that? Will you commit to looking at maybe the way your mind has just kind of gone into the box of thinking? And will you commit to just stepping out and just saying, okay, I'm going to look at this in a whole new light. I'm going to look at this in a new way. I want to encourage us to do that as we move forward. Let me pray for you as the worship team comes up. Father, we're so thankful for your word. We thank you that even though your word was written thousands of years ago, you went to amazing measures to make sure that we had that. You went to amazing steps to make sure that we had this Bible for us to look back on. And This morning, I ask that you would come and that you would help us to look at problems, situations, ideas, ideals, whatever it is we're finding ourselves coming up against. We ask that right now that you would allow us to see things in a whole new way. That your Spirit would just speak into our marriage, speak into our relationships, speak into our businesses, speak into our workplaces, speak into our church life. We ask that you would come and allow us to see things in a new way. And Lord, we declare to you today that we are willing to look at things in a new light. We ask your forgiveness for looking at things the same old way. We ask your forgiveness for being like the religious leaders of old, where they just did things because that's the way it was always done. We ask, Father, that you would reveal to us new thoughts, new ideas, new ways, new understanding, new perspective, a new vision. Because, Lord, you are with us, you are for us, and you desire to give us a hope and a future. You desire to prosper us and bless us. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name.